Bhaktivedanta Gita Sar, Part 3. Srila Prabhupada says, in the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, the knower of the body, the living entity, and the position by which one can understand the Supreme Lord are described. In the middle six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the relationship between the individual soul and Supersoul in regard to devotional service are described. The superior position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the subordinate position of the individual soul are definitely defined in these chapters. The living entities are subordinate under all circumstances, but in their forgetfulness they suffer. When enlightened by pious activities, they approach the Supreme Lord in different capacities, as the distressed, those in want of money, the inquisitive, and those in search of knowledge. Now, starting with the 13th chapter, how the living entity comes into contact with material nature, and how one is delivered by the Supreme Lord through different methods of fruitive activities, cultivation of knowledge, and the discharge of devotional service are explained. Although the living entity is completely different from the material body, one somehow becomes related, and this is also explained. In the 13th chapter, it will also be explained that out of the two knowers, one is fallible and the other infallible. One is superior and the other subordinate. One who understands the two knowers of the field to be one and the same contradicts the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He states here very clearly, I am also the knower of the field of activity. Just as one who misunderstands a rope to be a serpent is not in knowledge, there are different kinds of bodies and there are different owners of the body. But each individual soul has his or her individual capacity for lording it over material nature. There are different bodies, but the Supreme is also present in them as the controller. In this chapter, the word cha is significant, for it indicates the total number of bodies. Krishna is the Supersoul, present in each and every body apart from the individual soul. And Krishna explicitly says here that the Supersoul is the controller of both the field of activities as well as the finite enjoyer, the individual soul. The Lord has explained the field of activities and the knower of the field. He has also explained the process of knowing the knower of the field of activities. Now he begins to explain the knowable, first the soul and then Supersoul. By knowledge of the knower, both the soul and the Supersoul, one can relish the nectar of life. As explained in the second chapter, the living entity is eternal, and this is also confirmed here. There was no specific date at which the jiva was born. Nor can anyone trace out the history of the jivatma's manifestation from the Supreme Lord. Therefore, it is beginningless. The Vedic literature also confirms this. The knower of the body is never born and never dies, and he or she is full of knowledge. The Lord has described, in summary, the body, knowledge, and the knowable. This knowledge is of three things: the knower, the knowable, and the process of knowing. Combined, these are called vijnana, or the science of knowledge. Perfect knowledge can be understood by the unalloyed devotees of the Lord directly. Others are unable to understand. The monists say that at the ultimate stage, these three items become one. But devotees do not accept this. Knowledge and development of knowledge mean understanding oneself in Krishna consciousness. Presently, we are being led by material consciousness. But as soon as we transfer all consciousness to Krishna's activities and realize that Krishna is everything, then we attain real knowledge. In other words, knowledge is nothing but the preliminary stage of understanding devotional service perfectly. In the 15th chapter, this will be very clearly explained. Now, to summarize, one may understand that in this 13th chapter, verses 6 and 7 analyze the material elements and certain manifestations of the symptoms of life. These combine to form the body or field of activities. And verses 8 through 12 describe the process of knowledge for understanding both types of knower of the field of activities, namely the soul and super soul. Then verses 13 through 18 describe the soul and the Supreme Lord, who is also known as super soul. Thus, three items have been described: the field of activity, or the body, the process of understanding, and both the soul and super soul. It is especially described here that only the unalloyed devotees of the Lord can understand these three items clearly. And so, for the devotees, Bhagavad Gita is fully useful. It is the devotees who can attain the supreme goal, the nature of the Supreme Lord, Krishna. In other words, only devotees and not others can understand Bhagavad Gita and derive the desired result. By the knowledge given in this 13th chapter, one can understand the body or field of activities, the knowers of the body, such as the individual soul and super soul. And the body is the field of activity and is composed of material nature. The individual soul that is embodied and enjoying the activities of the body is Purusha, the living entity. The living entity is one knower, and the other knower is Supersoul. Of course, it is to be understood that both Supersoul and the individual entity are different manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, the living entity is in the category of the Supreme Lord's energy, and Super Soul is in the category of his personal expansion. The purport of this 13th chapter is that one should know the distinction between the body, the owner of the body, and Super Soul. One should recognize the process of liberation as described in verses 8 through 12. Then one can go to the supreme destination. A faithful person should at first have some good association to hear of God and thus gradually become enlightened. If one accepts a spiritual master, one can learn to distinguish between matter and spirit, and then that becomes the stepping stone for further spiritual realization. A spiritual master, by various instructions, teaches his students to get free from the material concept of life. For instance, in Bhagavad Gita, we find Krishna instructing Arjuna in order to free him from materialistic considerations. One can understand that the body, this body, is matter, and it can be analyzed with its 24 elements. Thus, the body is the gross manifestation, and the subtle manifestation is the mind and psychological effects. And the symptoms of life are the interaction of these features. But over and above this, there is the soul, and then there is also Super Soul. The soul and the Super Soul are two. The material world is working by the conjunction of the soul and the 24 elements. One who can see the constitution of the whole material manifestation as this combination of the soul and material elements, and who can also see the situation of the Supreme Soul, becomes eligible for transfer to the spiritual world. These things are meant for contemplation and for realization. And therefore, one should have a complete understanding of this chapter with the help of the spiritual master. From the 7th chapter to the end of the 12th chapter, Sri Krishna in detail reveals the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now the Lord Himself is further enlightening Arjuna. If one understands this chapter through the process of philosophical speculation, he or she will come to an understanding of devotional service. In the 13th chapter, it was clearly explained that by humbly developing knowledge, it may be possible for one to be freed from material entanglement. It has also been explained that it is due to association with the modes of nature that the living entity is entangled within this material world. Now, in the 14th chapter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead explains what those modes of nature are, how they act, how they bind, and how they give liberation. The knowledge explained in the 14th chapter is proclaimed by the Supreme Lord to be superior to the knowledge given so far in other chapters. By understanding this knowledge, various great sages have attained perfection and were transferred to the spiritual world. Next, the Lord explains the same knowledge in a better way. This knowledge is far, far superior to all other processes of knowledge thus far explained. And by knowing this, many have attained perfection. Thus, it is expected that one who understands this 14th chapter will oneself attain perfection. After the discussion of the importance of Bhakti Yoga, one may question, what about the Vedas? It is explained in the 15th chapter that the purpose of Vedic study is to understand Krishna. Therefore, one who is in Krishna consciousness, who is engaged in devotional service, already knows the Vedas. The process of extrication should be understood. In the previous chapters, it has been explained that there are many processes by which to get out of material entanglement. And up to the 13th chapter, we have seen that devotional service to the Supreme Lord is the best way. Now, the basic principle of devotional service is detachment from material activities and attachment to the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The process of breaking attachment to the material world is discussed in the beginning of the 15th chapter. The root of this material existence grows upward. This means that it becomes from the total material substance, from the topmost planet of the universe, and from there the whole universe is expanded, with so many branches representing the various planetary systems. The fruits represent the results of the living entity's activities. Those activities are named religion, economic development, sense gratification, liberation. The spiritual world, the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, which is known as Krishna Loka or Goloka Vrindavan, is described in this chapter 15. In the spiritual sky, there is no need of sunshine, moonshine, fire, or electricity, because all the planets are self-luminous. We have no, and we only have one planet in this universe, the sun, which is self-luminous. But all the planets in the spiritual sky are self-luminous. The shining effulgence of all those planets, called Vaikunthas, constitutes the shining sky known as Brahma Jyoti. Actually, the effulgence is emanating from the planet of Krishna, Goloka Vrindavan. Part of that shining effulgence is covered by the Mahat Tattva, the material world. Other than this, the major portion of that shining sky is full of spiritual planets, which are called Vaikunthas, chief of which is Goloka Vrindavan. As long as a living entity is in this dark material world, one is in conditioned life. But as soon as one reaches the spiritual sky, by cutting through the false, perverted tree of this material world, one becomes liberated. Then there is no chance of one's coming back here. In one's conditional life, the living entity considers oneself to be the lord of this material world. But in one's liberated state, he or she enters into the spiritual kingdom and becomes an associate of the Supreme Lord. And there, one enjoys eternal bliss, eternal life, and full knowledge. One should be captivated by this information. One should desire to transfer to that eternal world and extricate oneself from this false reflection of reality. For one who is too much attached to this material world, it is very difficult to cut that attachment. But if one takes to Krishna consciousness, there is a chance of gradually becoming detached. One has to associate himself with devotees, those who are in Krishna consciousness. One should search out a society dedicated to Krishna consciousness and learn how to discharge devotional service. In this way, one can cut off attachment to the material world. One cannot become detached from the attraction of the material world simply by dressing oneself in saffron cloth. One must become attached to the devotional service of the Lord. Therefore, one should take it very seriously. One should take it that devotional service, as described in the 12th chapter, is the only way to get out of this false representation of the real tree. In chapter 14, the contamination of all kinds of processes by material nature was described. And only devotional service is described as purely transcendental. While one is performing devotional service in the association of pure devotees in full Krishna consciousness, there are certain things which require to be vanquished altogether. The most important thing one has to surmount: weakness of the heart. The first fall down is caused by the desire to lord it over material nature. Thus, one gives up the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Lord. The second weakness of the heart is that as one increases the propensity to lord it over material nature, one becomes attached to matter and the possession of matter. Thus, the problems of material existence are due to these weaknesses of the heart. In the 15th chapter, the first 5 verses describe the process of freeing oneself from these weaknesses of heart, and the rest of the chapter, from the 6th verse through the end, discuss Purushottama Yoga. In the beginning of the 15th chapter, the banyan tree of this material world was explained. The extra roots coming out were compared to the activities of the living entities, some auspicious, some inauspicious. In the 9th chapter also, the devas or godly and the asuras, the ungodly or demons, were explained. Now, according to the Vedic rites, activities in the mode of goodness are considered auspicious for progress in the path of liberation. And such activities are known as Daivi Prakriti, transcendental by nature. Those who are situated in the transcendental nature make progress on the path of liberation. For those who are acting in the modes of passion and ignorance, on the other hand, there is no possibility of liberation. Either they will have to remain in this material world as human beings, or they will descend among the species of animals or even lower life forms. In this 16th chapter, the Lord explains both the transcendental nature and its attendant qualities, and the demoniac nature and its qualities. Krishna also explains the advantages and disadvantages of all these qualities. In the conditional state, people are attracted to worshipping demigods, ghosts, and yakshas like Kubera. But the mode of goodness is better than the modes of passion and ignorance. And one who takes directly to Krishna consciousness is transcendental to all three modes of material nature. Although there is a process of gradual elevation, if one, by the association of pure devotees, takes directly to Krishna consciousness, that is the best way. And that is also recommended in chapter 17. To achieve excess in that way, one must find the proper spiritual master and receive training under his direction. Then one can achieve faith in the Supreme. And when that faith matures, in course of time, it is called love of Godhead. This love is the ultimate goal of the living entities. One should therefore take to Krishna consciousness directly, and that is the message of the 17th chapter. Actually, Bhagavad Gita is finished in 17 chapters. The 18th chapter is a supplementary summarization of the topics discussed previously. In every chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the Lord stresses that devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate goal of life. The same point is summarized in the 18th chapter as the most confidential path of knowledge. We found in the first six chapters, stress was given to devotional service. Of all yogis, of all transcendentalists, one who always thinks of me, Krishna, within oneself is the best. In the next six chapters, pure devotional service and its nature and activity were discussed. And in the third six chapters, knowledge, renunciation, the activities of material nature and transcendental nature and devotional service were described. And it was concluded that all acts should be performed in conjunction with the Supreme Lord, represented by the words Om Tat Sat, which indicate Vishnu, the Supreme Person. The third part of Bhagavad Gita has shown that devotional service and nothing else is the ultimate purpose of life. This has been established by citing past acharyas and the Brahma Sutra or Vedanta Sutra. Certain impersonalists considered themselves to have a monopoly on the knowledge of Vedanta Sutra. But actually, the Vedanta Sutra is meant for understanding devotional service, for it is the Lord Himself who is the composer of the Vedanta Sutra, and He is its actual knower. That was described in the 15th chapter. Therefore, in every scripture, every Veda, devotional service is the objective. And all of this is explained in Bhagavad Gita. So as in the second chapter, a synopsis of the whole subject matter was described, so also in the 18th chapter, the summary of all instruction is given. The purpose of life is indicated to be renunciation and attainment of the transcendental position above the three material modes of nature. Arjuna wants to clarify the two distinct subject matters of Bhagavad Gita, namely, Tyaga, renunciation, Sannyas, the renounced order of life. Thus, he is asking the meaning of these two words. In the 14th chapter, the three divisions of the modes of material nature were elaborately described. In that 14th chapter, it was said that the mode of goodness is illuminating, the mode of passion materialistic, and the mode of ignorance conducive to laziness and indolence. All the modes of material nature are binding. They are not sources of liberation. Even in the mode of goodness, one is conditioned. And in the 17th chapter, different types of worship by different types of men in different modes of nature were described. Here, the Lord says that He wishes to say something about the different types of knowledge, workers, and work itself, according to the three material modes. From Bhagavad Gita, we can understand that to realize oneself by philosophical speculation and by meditation is one process, but to fully surrender unto Krishna is the highest perfection. And this is the essence of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. The path of regulative principles, according to the orders of social life and according to the different courses of religion, may be a confidential path of knowledge. And although the rituals of religion are confidential, meditation and cultivation of knowledge are still more confidential. But surrender unto Krishna in devotional service, in full Krishna consciousness, is the most confidential instruction. That is the essence of the 18th chapter. And thus, another feature of Bhagavad Gita is that the actual truth, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. That absolute truth is realized in three features: impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. perfect knowledge of the Absolute Truth means perfectly knowing Krishna. If one understands Krishna, then all departments of knowledge are part and parcel of that understanding. Krishna is transcendental, for he is always situated in his eternal internal potency. The living entities are manifested of his energy and are divided into two classes: eternally conditioned or eternally liberated. Such living entities are innumerable, and they are considered fundamental parts of Krishna. Material energy is manifested into 24 divisions, and the creation is effected by eternal time. And the material energy is created and dissolved by the external energy. This manifestation of the cosmic world repeatedly becomes visible and invisible. In Bhagavad Gita, five principal subjects have been discussed: the Supreme Personality of Godhead, material nature, the living entities, eternal time, and all kinds of activities. But all is dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. All conceptions of the Absolute Truth, either impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, or any other transcendental conception, exist within the category of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although superficially, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entity, material nature, and time appear to be different, nothing is different from the Supreme. And at the same time, the Supreme is always different from everything. Thus, Lord Chaitanya's philosophy is that of inconceivable oneness and difference simultaneously. This system of philosophy constitutes perfect knowledge of the Absolute Truth. The living entity, in his or her original position, is pure spirit. One is just like an atomic particle of the Supreme Spirit. Thus, Lord Krishna may be compared to the sun and the living entities to sunshine. Because the living entities are the marginal energy of Krishna, they have a tendency to be in contact either with the material nature or with the spiritual nature, either with the material energy or with the spiritual energy. In other words, the living entity is situated between the two energies of the Lord. And because one belongs to the superior energy of the Lord, we have a particle of independence. By proper use of that independence, we come under the direct order of Krishna. And thus, one attains his or her normal condition in the pleasure-giving potency. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.